Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos is daf Zion. We take off from yesterday. Yesterday we went through the Braisa, the Braisa that defines the Dalet Rishios, the four domains on Shabbos, which comes up in the middle of Vav and Aleph, and from here until the end of the Sugya, which is on the bottom of Tes and Aleph. So the Gemara is going to go through this Braisa piece by piece and step by step. So if you look back on Vav and Aleph through the Braisa, it said Dalet Rishios LeShabbos. There are four domains by Shabbos: Rishios Yachid, Rishios Rabim, Karmos, and Malkum Potter. So the first one is Rishos Yachid, the private domain. Second one is Rishos Rabim, that's a public domain. Third one is a Karmelis, which we'll spend a lot of time today trying to define. And Malkum Potter is that undescript domain, meaning something which is really none of the above. So yesterday we went through what is the definition of Rishos Yachid. Today actually we're going to go through more definition of Rishos Yachid. And let's continue. So the so that was the Braisa yesterday. Now the Braisa goes on. And it's important to really review the Braisa because over the course of today, tomorrow, Zayin Ches, and half of Tes, we're going to be going over every single point of the Braisa, little by little. So we're now in the bottom of Avamid Beis, and we're continuing on Mamar, Avayam Avika Vayistavnus Varkamlis in Elok Rishos Yechiv Elok Rishos Rabim. So when it comes to an ocean or a valley, or Istavnus, Istavnus is a word we saw a couple times already yesterday. Istavnus is like a bench that's in front of the store, or a Karmelis. It's not a Rishos Yachin, it's not a Rishos Rabim. So the Gemara starts off the discussion by Bika. Yam, for whatever reason, the Gemara just accepts, which is meaning that the ocean is not, meaning it's not a place where people walk. Granted, you take a boat and you put a boat on the ocean, but the boat's just a Karmelis. It's not a Rishos Yachin, or it's a Rishos Rabim. But now let's take a look at the valley. So the Gemara says, "Ubikaina loka rishos yachiv loka rishos rabim v'hatanan." Ubika be a mosach chama. Now the Gemara says, "Well, take a look at the following Mishnah." Then this Mishnah in Taharos talks about a valley. Now it talks about a valley vis-a-vis rishos yachiv rishos rabim for Shabbos and rishos yachiv rishos rabim vis-a-vis tuma. So just a word of introduction. In the world of tuma, so we have a very basic rule. We see this rule come up again and again throughout Shas. And the rule regarding tuma is that if I have a suffix tumah b'rishus harabim, questionable tumah in a public domain, so sfeiko tahor, so the suffix is going to be tahor, and a suffix tumah b'rishus hayachid sfeiko tameh. Now, why should that be? So, because the prototype, interestingly enough, for tumah is a sota. Now, a sota has nothing to do with tumah, meaning a sota is an issue of isur v'heter, meaning a woman who perhaps committed adultery against her husband, was warned not to seclude herself with a man, did so despite the fact that she was warned not to. And so now, because she secluded herself with a man, so she's going to be usher to her husband. The Torah, however, when describing the sota, uses the word tumah in her description. So therefore, from that point forward, we see that in the world of tumah, we have the same basic guideline, where if I have a questionable tumah in a rishus hayachid, in a private domain, so then, just like the sota, we don't know what happened with her and that man in the room, but we have suspicion, and more importantly, the Torah says, or more significantly, the Torah says that once she secludes herself with that man in a room, she now has the status of a sota, which does not mean that she's an adulteress, but it means that she's also to her husband. And her status does not change until she drinks the water, okay, where the water is going to tell us exactly what happened. It's a beerer. Good.
She's presumed tumah, that's what
I'm saying. But she's right. But she's, in other words, her status now, she's a status of tumah. So, and if it's in a rishus harabim, if it's in a public domain, well, then that's not seclusion. Right. So then her status doesn't change. In the world of tumah now, we say the same thing. That if I have a questionable tumah, meaning maybe there was contact between tumah and non-tumah. So, and I don't know. I'm not sure. So if the question was in Rishos HaYachid, so now we're going to give it status, meaning the item which wasn't Tameh now will be Tameh. And if it's in Rishos HaRabim, so we don't give it status, it remains Tahor. Good. Those are the basics. Now the confusing part, hopefully none of that was confusing, that was clear. The confusing part is that the definition of Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaRabim for Tumah is not going to be the same as Rishos HaYachid, Rishos HaRabim for Shabbos. For Shabbos, it's a structural definition, like we've been discussing for the past number of days. Or Shabbos, for a Rishos HaYachid, it's got to have walls 10 tefachim high, and an area 4x4, and number of walls, three walls, some say four walls. In other words, it's structural. Rishos HaRabim, it has to be a street going through the city. 16 amas wide. It's all structural. It's linear measurements. Okay. When it comes to Tumah, it has nothing to do with structure. Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaRabim is based on one thing and one thing only. Is it private or is it not private? So, and even then, the Gemara never gives like a clear definition of what exactly that means private. We can simply look at the prototype, meaning what's a prototype? It's a man and it's a woman in a room. So that's two. And that would mean that three would make a crowd. Three people already is a public domain. All right, so far so good. So in other words, let's learn this Mishnah together. Habika b'yamos hachama, so if I have a valley in the summertime, Rishos Yach l'Shabbos, Rishos HaRabim l'Tumah. So vis-a-vis Shabbos, it's Rishos Yachid. Because structurally, hard to say. Meaning, it has a wall around it or it doesn't have a wall around it. We call it a valley. Usually valleys don't have walls around it. So that's a little bit tricky. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But vis-a-vis Tumah, it depends what season it is. If it's the summer season, so that means that it's dry. People walk through the valley. It's populated. Therefore, it's a Rishos HaRabim. B'mos HaGshamim, but if it's the rainy season, so Rishos HaYachid, Lakan Lakan, we have the words, we don't have the words, either way, it doesn't matter. Meaning that in the rainy season, nobody's walking through this valley. It's rainy, it's muddy, and so therefore it is a Rishos HaYachid, both vis-a-vis Shabbos and vis-a-vis Tumah as well. Okay. The problem is obvious. Meaning, aside from the fact that it sometimes is Rishos HaRabim and sometimes Rishos HaYachid for Tumah, that doesn't bother us at all. Because again, for Tumah, the only issue is there a population or is there no population? So that's fine. The problem is that when it comes to Shabbos, the Mishnah taught us it is a Rishos HaYachid. Now, our Braisa that gives the very definition of what's a Rishos HaYachid, what's a Rishos HaRabim, what's a Carmelis, our Braisa says that a Bika is a Carmelis. That's a problem. Our Braisa says it's a Carmelis, period. Regardless of season. Amar Ula Lolam Carmelis, Havyavamai Karmelis, Rishos Yach, Lefish, and Rishos HaRabim. Answer number one says the Gemara is provided by Ula. Ula says it's a Carmelis. And even that Mishnah Taharos also agrees it's a Carmelis. Small problem, the Mishnah Carmelis calls it a Rishos Yachin. That's only by contrast. Meaning, sometimes I say something's a Rishos HaYachid just simply to say what it's not. Right? It's a Rishos HaYachid, meaning it's not a Rishos HaRabim. I don't really mean, not me, but I'm saying this is how he would understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't really mean it's a Rishos HaYachid, it just simply means it's not a Rishos HaRabim. What's a great contrasting term? Rishos HaYachid. But technically, it's a Carmelis. And Phil also contributes a great point, right? In the world of Tumah, I only have two options. Meaning, in the world of Tumah, it's either Rishos HaYachid or Rishos HaRabim. But no, so we'll use the term Rishos HaYachid, but not because it is, simply because of contrasting. Okay, Ravashi Amar Kegon Diasle Mechitzos. Okay, Ravashi is going to give another answer. Very interesting answer. This valley's got walls around it. Okay, so it's a fenced-in valley. Anything with walls around it is a Rishos HaYachid. Good. So that the Mishnah Taharos we understand great. Meaning, so once we have a valley with walls around it, it is a Rishos HaYachid. Wonderful. V'chihad amar ulam Rav Yochanan. Karf of Yosem ibeis ha'saim shalohu kaf ledira v'afilu kor v'afilu karai mazark l'socha chayev. May tamim mechitzahi. In fact, if I have any large expansive area. The Gemara introduces us to a term. This is the first time we've seen this term in the Masechta. In Erevin, we'll see this term thrown around. Right here in Shabbos, I don't know if we're ever going to see this term again. And Shabbos is long. It's 157 pages of Gemara. But Karfaf. Right? A Karfaf just simply means a large expanse of area. Like a big field, if you will. If it's larger than Beis HaSayim, larger than Beis HaSayim means that it's more than 5,000 square amas, okay, which is a large plot of land. And it's low hukaf ladira, and it's non-residential, meaning it's a fenced-in area where people do not walk in and out. And even if it's Kor, and even if it's Korayim, and even if it's a really large land mass, if I throw into that area, you'd be chayiv. Meaning, if I threw an object from Rishus Rabim into the Karfaf, I'd be chayiv. Why? My tamim chitzahi. Because it has walls around it. Any area that's walled in is a Rishus Hayachid. Good. So now the Mishnah Taharos, perfect. I have no problem with the Mishnah Taharos. The Mishnah Taharos says that if I have a Bika valley and it has walls around it, it's a Rishus Hayachid. Because it is a Rishus Hayachid. Because a Rishus Hayachid, the only definition of it is a structural definition. And if it has four walls around it, it absolutely is Rishus Hayachid, regardless of how big an area it is. However, now let's move on to the next point. Can I carry in such an area? No. You can't. Why not? Because a Karfaf is a non-residential area, and the rabbis decreed that you cannot carry in such an area. This area attains the status of a Carmelis. That's our Braisa. Elishim Mechuseres Diurin. It doesn't have residence. Good. So what you have now are two basic approaches to how to explain the difference between the Mishnah Taharos and our Braisa. You have Ula's answer and you have Ravashi's answer. Ula's answer is that really the Mishnah Taharos means that it's a Carmelis. And it goes together with our Braisa that says that the valley is a Carmelis. Why does it call it Rishus Yachid? It only means it by relative terms. It's a Rishus Yachid, meaning simply it's not a Rishus Rabim. The second answer was given by Rav Ashi, which means that we're talking about a valley that has walls around it. It is a Rishus Yachid. Is it a Carmelis? Yes, meaning it's both. It's both a Rishus Yachid and it's a Carmelis. It's a Rishus Yachid because it has walls around it, therefore structurally it is a Rishus Yachid, but I'm not allowed to carry in it. Why not? Because it's an area which was enclosed that for non-residential purposes. It's hukaf, low hukaf l'diurin. Thank you. It was not enclosed for residents, for people, and so therefore midrabbanan, you're not allowed to carry in that area. That area takes on the status of a karmelis. So it's interesting. According to Rav Ashi's answer, you can have an area that's both a rishus yachid and a karmelis. Can be both. Midar Raisa, Aaron says it great. Midar Raisa, it's a Rishus Hayachid, but Midar Rabbanan, you're not allowed to carry in such an area. Now, I know it's a lot to grasp. It's a lot to really process. That would mean then that if I threw something into that area from Rishus Rabim, you violated Shabbos. That's a Malach of Otsah. And then if I took the item in that area and I try to carry it around, I can't. Midar Rabbanan, rabbinically, it's forbidden. Good. Now, here's the confusing part. If all that was very clear up until this very point in time, here's the confusing part. Ula gave an answer in terms of resolving the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa, but Ula could have given Ravashi's answer. In fact, Ula should have given Ravashi's answer. Why should have Ula given Ravashi's answer? Because when Ravashi gives his answer, who does he base his answer on?
Right.
He bases his answer on Ula. Meaning it's the very teaching of Ula that allows Rav Ashi to give his answer. So the Gemara now wants to know, it's such an easy question once you got all that straight. Bishlama Rav Ashi Lama Kadula Ula Maitama Lama Kishmaite. Why didn't Ula give his own answer? Meaning because Ula was the one who taught us the idea that an area which is not Hukaf Ladira is a Carmelis, even though it's a Rishus Hayachid. And once Ula taught that, couldn't he have given such a simple answer in that it's an area which is marked off by walls? It really is the Rishus Hayachid, but I'm not allowed to carry in that area. So I'm lechayid idis lemechitzas beka karile karfavi. So Ula says it's a technical issue. If there are walls around it, no one calls it a bika, meaning that the term bika is just simply not a term that would define it. People would call it a karfav. So the fact that the Mishnah calls it a bika means by definition it did not have walls around it. Rav Ashi, Rishus Hayachid Ketani. Now Rav Ashi says, yeah, but the Mishnah says Rishus Hayachid. Meaning you can't ignore the fact that the Mishnah says Rishus Hayachid. Right. If it's a Rishus Hayachid, it means it's got to have walls around it. Okay. Good.
Rav Ashi and Ula are different generations.
I don't. Rav Ashi is late. Ula is earlier. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Yes.
The area around the water that's up in there, that would be a
car. And the lake?
Yes.
The lake, right? The lake is an area where it's a Carmelis. I don't know if in other words, to go on. To walk on the lake itself would be prohibited, and even if there were walls around the lake, meaning it's an area which people don't walk. We'll come back to that. Okay, we'll come back to that. HaKarmelis, Atukulu Nami Alav Karmelis Ninu. Now, we go on to the next part of the Braisa. Now, the Braisa, let's go review the Braisa. Again, everything takes us back to the Braisa, because what we're doing is we're nitpicking, which is what the Gemara does. In other words, each part of the Braisa, each word of the Braisa. The Braisa went on to give a description of things that are a Karmelis. Yam, an ocean, a Bika, a valley, Istavnis, the benches, and also, you know what it's a Karmelis? A Karmelis. A Karmelis is a Karmelis. And then when I say it, you say to yourself, well, that's funny. What? What does that mean? Which is the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, V'akarmelis, atu kulo nami lav karmelis, the new meaning. Aren't we giving the definition of a Karmelis? So, it's funny. You look up Karmelis in the dictionary, what definition does it give you? A Karmelis. Oh, that was helpful. The Gemara says, what's going on? So, Kiyasu Rav Dimi, I'm Rav Yochanan, L'nitzrach ha'ela karen zavis esmuchel rishos harabim. Okay, the Gemara says like this. Now we're going to get really to a core definition over here of what a Karmelis is. Let's say you have a rishos harabim abutting against a row of houses, which, as I described many times, that's how it was in the good old days. Meaning the houses went right up against the rishos harabim. Now, if it's a nice row of houses, right, you think of the Lago houses, right? It's, you know, it's townhouses. One next to the other, next to the other, and the houses themselves create like the straight line. And it moves up right against the Rishos HaRabim. Now, again, as I mentioned many times already, as we started this discussion of Otsah, right, the area in front of Lago is not a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, it's a Karmelis. But for the purpose of this discussion, let's assume that the area right in front is a Rishos HaRabim. Okay, so now everything is nice and neatly defined. The house is the Rishos Yachin. The street right in front is the Rishos HaRabim. Good. What if I have, let's say, a crevice? Now the Gemara says, Keren Zavis Asmuchel Rishos HaRabim. Now let's say I have a corner. Well, Rashi gives one of two possible explanations. Let's say one of the houses, one of the Lago houses, is not lined up parallel with the other houses. But let's say it is recessed a little bit into it. So that means to say that if you were to draw a line, it would come in, come back out, and then go. So in other words, I got this kind of like strange area in front of that house. What do I call that? Well, you can't call it a Rishos HaRabim because that's not the street. You can't really call it a Rishos HaYachid. Right. So what do I call that? Or Rashi says that one of the houses, and Rashi gives another scenario, one of the houses was built on a diagonal.
Right. Right.
So that you have like these awkward corners now that are recessed in. So what is that area? So the Gemara says that area, that nondescript area, which is not part of the street, which is not part of the house, you know what that is? Karmelis. Exactly. So Alpha Gav de Zimnan, I'm sorry. Kasra of Dimar, let's say Karen Zavis is Mukhul Rishos HaRabim. The Alpha Gav de Zimnan de Dachke Be Rabim. Va'ayla Le Gava. And you know what happens? Let's say there's a lot of traffic, a lot of people walking through the street, and you're trying to navigate your way through. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to use those crevices. So in other words, it is used by the public.
Right.
It is part now of the traffic. So I might have thought that because of that, it now gains the status of Rishos HaRabim. The Gemara says, no. Kevin de lo nichet hashmishteki kamas dami. The Gemara says, because there's no flow. So interesting. The Gemara says, in order for something to be Rishos HaRabim, there has to be a flow of traffic. This area may be used by people walking through the street, but because it's not, people don't flow through that area. Traffic doesn't flow through that area. It doesn't obtain the status of Rishos HaRabim, and therefore it remains only a Karmelis. Next part of the Gemara, Kiyasa Rav Dimi, Rav Yochan, Mein Amudim, Nidon, Karmelis. Now, let's say you have pillars in the middle of the street. Now, that's weird. What are you doing with pillars in the middle of the street? So, first of all, this area over here, anyone in Yerushalayim, they have a promenade, meaning the Ben Yehuda area. So and in the promenade, so you have right some places they throw down a bench, they throw down a. In other words, they're basically if people are walking through that area, so they're going to put obstructions over there. Not really obstructions, but basically, you know, people hang things over there. Okay, in other words, so it becomes part of an area where it's still the street, but it slows traffic down. So Bein Ha'amudim Nidon Kikarmelis. So Rav Yochanan says, look, I have a street, and at a certain point in the street, they lay down these pillars. It slows the traffic down. Between the pillars, it no longer is a Rishus HaRabim, it's a Karmelis. Why? Because there's no flow of traffic. Again, the same idea that in order for something to be Rishus HaRabim, it has to be not only a street, but there has to be an ability of traffic to flow there. My time off of the Darsei Be'Rabim, look, people walk there, but Kevin Delon Misdagele Beheja Kikarmelis Damia. But because it's Lo Misdagele Beheja, right? People don't go straight through it. Right, you have to weave your way through the pillars, so therefore it now has the status of a karmelis. I'm Rav Zera, I'm Rav Yehuda, it's the Bershlef, now I'm Udim Nidon Kikarmelis. Now, the Itztaba. This is not the first time we talked about the benches in front of the stores. Benches in front of the stores, that's where the merchants would lay their stuff out, show the public what they have. So these benches are not part of the Rishus HaRabim. What status do these benches have? They are a karmelis. Good. So, now, if you took the first opinion, the opinion of Rav Yochanan, where the area between the pillars are not Rishus HaRabim, lose the status of Rishus HaRabim, for sure he would agree that the benches are also a karmelis as well. But if you just maintain that the Itztaba was a karmelis, but Itztaba hu delo nichatash mishtei, look, you threw our benches into the street, no one's walking over the benches. People are walking around the benches. So the benches, therefore, remove the status of Rishus HaRabim, wherever the benches may be, and instead, the status now of the benches is karmelis. But the pillars, look, and we're not talking about on the pillar, we're talking about between the pillars. People could still weave through the pillar. So maybe, the Gemara suggests, the one who says that the Itztaba is a karmelis, but maybe he would disagree about the pillars, the areas between the pillars. Lishna Achrin, the Gemara says a slightly different way. That between the pillars where people sometimes walk through it, meaning there is still some semblance of a flow of traffic, so therefore that area is going to have a status of Rishus HaRabim. Good. Interesting Tosfos. Tosfos over here is bothered by the following. We have now pointed to an opinion in the Gemara that that even if I throw pillars in the middle of the road, the area between the pillars is still a Rishus HaRabim. Right? Meaning the Gemara's last position is that it's only the benches that lose the status of Rishus HaRabim, but not the area between the pillars. So Tosfos says, I don't understand. If I'm throwing pillars down in the middle of the street, right, so haven't I now reduced the dimensions? Meaning, what did we say in terms of our definition of Rishus HaRabim? Rishus HaRabim is a street that's 16 amas wide. Okay, the Gemara gives those definitions. So it's a street that's 16 amas wide. So if I'm throwing pillars down in the middle of the street, isn't it narrower than 16 amas wide? Meaning I can't just simply, I can't ignore the pillars. Look at the second Tosfos on the Samad. Ava bein amudim k'rishus harabim. Dami afa pisha ein bein amud la amud tezayin amas, havi rishus harabim. It's still going to be rishus harabim. Why? Kaven shebenei rishus harabim bokim ba, v'chutz la bein ha'amudim rachav shisha asar ama. Says Tosfos, because even though in this particular strip of the street, it's less than 16 amas, it's narrower than 16 amas, but I go to this side, and I go to this side, and meaning it's wider than 16 amas, even though there's a compressed area of the street, because I have 16 amas here and 16 amas over here, and there Rishus HaRabim, the Rishus HaRabim status is going to encompass even that narrower part of the street. According to Tosfos, that means that if I have a street which at certain point narrows to under 16 amas, as long as it flows from a street that's 16 amas, so it's still going to be Rosh Hashanah. So now you say to yourself, it really now forces you to rethink all these urban streets that we, you know, that we look at. I mean, here in South Florida, but you know, up in New York, if there's any, in other words, you look at Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn, or you, right. In other words, even if there are parts of the street that are narrower, according to Tosfos, it doesn't matter. Meaning, it's
600
from
one street to the other.
Right, and then, right, and then, correct, and then, right, where to go with this Tosfos? Meaning, now what about intersecting streets?
Right.
Right. That, so, in other words, right, it really, this one little point in Tosfos really forces you now to think about, you know, what is going to be defined as the Rosh Hashanah. In other words, not just the main street, but maybe also intersecting streets as well. Right. Well, again, I'm not saying anything. I'm just simply, you know, we're just getting acquainted with some of the basics. Amar Rav Bar Shua, back to the Gemara, we're in the middle of Zayin Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Chista Levena Zekufa B'Rosh Hashanah. I have a brick. The brick is in the Rosh Hashanah. Now, the bricks back in the good old days were 3x3 tefachim. Okay, I know our bricks are more rectangular in shape. Their bricks were square in shape. What can I tell you? That's the bricks of the good old days. So, and the brick is in Rosh Hashanah. V'zark v'tach b'fanah. And here's what I do. It's an awkward case. It's not a terribly practical case, but we're looking right now at the concept. And that is the following. I throw a sticky item at the brick. And I throw it, and it clings to the side of the brick. Not to the top, but to the side of the brick. So, erachayev. So you successfully threw something and it landed in a Rosh Hashanah. Even though al gabah, if I threw it on top of the brick, I would be putter, I would be exempt. Now, on top of the brick, what area is that?
Karmelis.
Yeah, so I know I also was going to say Karmelis as well, but think about what I said. What's the area of the brick? The total area of the brick is 3x3 tefachim. So 3x3 tefachim, a karmelis has to be minimum 4x4. So here I have an area which is 3x3, so it's not a karmelis. Yeah, so it's not a karmelis. It's got to be, huh?
Huh?
Right, so it's not a karmelis. So it's a makam patur. If I threw it onto the side of the brick, I'm going to be chayav. Why? Because the item now is hanging over a rishus harabim. And because it's hanging over Rosh Hashanah, it's within an Rosh Hashanah. Now remember, we made this point a number of times, and by the way, we're going to say it again today. Up to Rosh Hashanah goes how high?
10
tefachim. So in other words, as long as it sucks to the side of the brick. Now, I haven't told you how high the brick is because that's a variable. There's no constant height of the brick. Some bricks are tall, some bricks are short. I know that the area of a brick is 3x3 tefachim. As long as the area that it clung to on the side of the brick is below 10 tefachim, it's like it's now on the ground. Tosfos, next Tosfos on the Amud, is bothered by a very simple question. One moment. The Gemara made a big deal about this early on, which is that in order for there to be an Akir, in order for there to be an Anacha, it has to land on an area of 4x4. And over here, it's stuck to the side of the brick. And as I just told you, the brick is 3x3. So where's the Akira? Where's the Hanacha?
It's the same as the
so Tosus quotes two positions. So first he says, Rabbeinu Tam. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Di'imnach l'mala mishlosha tzarech shiei b'faneh arba l'arba. So Tosus says, if it lands on the side of the brick, and it landed anywhere above 3 tefachim from the ground, so Tosfos says, now I have to tell you, this is Rabbeinu Tam's opinion, that you need an area 4x4. So in other words, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the side of the brick has to be 4x4. Which, by the way, is very difficult because, as we just pointed out, the brick is 3x3. So I, for Rabbeinu Tam, I don't know how you're going to get a makom dal dal on a brick when the brick itself is 3x3. That's a little bit tricky. But then he quotes the Riva, and Phil, this is what you wanted to suggest. V'riva perish to afla malami gimel obayshe b'fnei halaveina, the coast of dalad al-dalad, the kevin sheroe es karka, chashiv kemuna chagabe karka. Right, this is what Phil was suggesting, is that if the fig stuck to the side, and even if it's above three tfachim is 1, 2, 3, like right over here, and let's say the brick was this tall, whatever the case is, and it's stuck to the side, so as long as there's nothing between the brick and the ground, it's like the brick is on the ground. Okay, it's a hard position to understand according to the Riva, because it's not on the ground, but he says that as long as there's nothing interrupting, that's like it is munach agabe karka. Okay. Well, Rabbeinu Tam is hard because you need an area of 4x4, but the brick is 3x3.
But if it's on top of the brick, on top of another brick. Right.
Okay. Right.
And for sure, it's no good.
All right. I understand. So v'rishus v'zark v'tach when chayva gabe potter abay v'rav adam itavay v'hu shegavo shosha delo dasele rabin. Now Abay and Rava point out that this brick assumes its own status, meaning it is not part of the rishus rabin because no one steps on the brick. But that's only if the brick is 3 tefachim high. If the brick is really low to the ground, you know what the people are going to do.
Definitely.
They'll step on the brick. And once people step on the brick, in other words, we're talking about a traffic flow. Once it no longer impedes the traffic flow, the brick does not lose any the status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. The brick maintains the status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Aval hizmi v'higi afagav delo gvi shlosha afagav delo gvi shlosha. But let's say you have thorns in the middle of the street. A thorn bush. Okay? Who is going to step on the thorn bush? So Abai and Rava both are of the opinion that it does lose the status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because no one's going to walk over it. And Chia Barav will say, no, thorn bushes, please. No one's walking barefoot through the middle of the street. Everyone's got their shoes on. They'll step on the thorn bush. It doesn't impede traffic. So therefore, he's of the opinion that the thorn bush is also part of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Aval Tsoa. But let's say you got a mound of excrement in the middle of the street, and it's low to the ground. Who's going to step on that? Certainly, that's right. Certainly not on purpose. So, in other words, he's of the opinion that mound is going to be it's going to lose its status of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim because the public don't walk on it. Avot Sa'olo. And Ravashi, who has the final word, Amar Afilu Tsoa, even Tsoa, it's still Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Because look, if traffic is, if it's high density traffic,
they won't see it, right?
But well, it's funny. In other words, I don't know if Ravashi means that people will deliberately step on it or, they may be forced to. I'm not
because it's less than 3 tefachim.
Right. In other words, once it's a mound higher than 3 tefachim, yeah, then. Amar Rav Abba Rav Shila Kiyas Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan Karmelis Pchus Me'arba. Now, a Karmelis is minimum 4, right? We made this point already a number of times before, but here the Gemara actually says it. So now we get to see the source. So it has to be minimum 4. Now, of course, it means 4 by 4, right? It's an area. The Amar Rav Sheshes V'Tosefes Adasara. Now, it holds till 10. What does that mean? It holds till 10. My v'tofes asar sorry lema diika mechitza asar ei who davi karmelis v'lo lo havi karmelis. Are we giving a definition? Meaning, are we saying it's only karmelis when it's 10 tefachim high? But that's not true. V'lo v'amar of gidol amar av chia bar Yosef amar av be'abai shem besocha asar v'kirav mishlum la asara. Let's say I have a really low house. Now this house is impossible. Meaning, it's not a real house.
You mean it's not
house? It's a doll house, right?
Okay.
We're making a halachic point over here. I know we're using the word bias, but we're just making a halachic point, and that is the following: if the interior height of the house is less than 10 tefachim. Okay,
right.
So it's a dollhouse, right? Phil said it wonderfully. And I'm sorry. And what I do is I build a roof for this dollhouse, and so now, not interior, but exterior measurement is 10 tfachim, so agaga motolatalta bekulo. Meaning if you're walking on the roof of this house, you're great. Meaning because it's a reshus hayachid. Meaning when I measure from the exterior, it's 10 tfachim high, it's more than 4x4, so it is a reshus hayachid. But besocho, but in the house, now nobody's walking in this house, but if you would be walking in the house, so you can only walk 4 amos in the house. Because the area inside is a karmless. And the point that the Gemara is illustrating is a very simple point, that any area under 10 tfachim could still be a karmless. So, when he says, v'toseha ad asara, he can't be talking about the definition, elamai v'tofeses ad yud, the ad yud, hu da havi karmless, lamalam yud tfachim, lo have karmelis. So the Gemara says like this, we're not defining, we're limiting. What we're saying is that a karmelis has a status of a karmelis, but only up to 10 tfachim. Anything above 10 tfachim is no longer karmelis. So for example, go back to our bika, go back to our valley. Our valley, even though we said that the whole valley is a karmelis, but that's only up to 10 tfachim. Anything above 10 tfachim is not a karmelis. Now we've already said Rishos HaRabim. Same thing. And that above 10 tfachim, it's not a karmelis. Now, correct. Now, above 10 tfachim, don't get involved in Shabbos. Meaning it's not Shabbos above 10 tfachim. Lamai hil chasa. Now, what do you mean by that? Ilemadein rishos yach lamala miyud v'amar av chisa. Now, it's kind of rishos yach v'zark v'nachal gabav afilo gavol me'am achaya v'mnesho rishos yach l'ola ad l'rakia. A point that we made in the very first day of the daf is that rishos yach is ola ad l'rakia. Rishos yach goes up until and infinitum. Meaning there is no height limit for rishos yach. Ela de'in rishos harabim lamala miyud. So maybe what his point was that when it comes to Rishos HaRabim, Rishos HaRabim doesn't go higher than 10 tfachim. I don't need, in other words, this is a statement made by Shmuel. The Gemara says, I don't need Shmuel for that. It's a Mishnah. We see this Mishnah, we're going to see this Mishnah a number of times, that Nan, Azorg Dala Amas Bekosa Lamala Miyot Tfachim, Kizorg Ba'avir, Lamata Miyot Tfachim, Kizorg Ba'aretz. The Mishnah says that above 10 tfachim, it's like throwing in the air. Below 10 tfachim, it's like throwing on the ground. Meaning that Rishos HaRabim only goes up 10 tfachim, no more than that. Ela a karmelis. And karmelis amala miyod. So karmelis goes up to yod. And so now the Gemara gives us some very basic guidelines regarding karmelis. Vakila be rabbanim mikula rishos hayachid, or mikula rishos harabim. Look, a karmelis is a rabbinic innovation. Meaning the whole concept of karmelis is midrabanan. So when the Chachamim defined a karmelis, they threw kulas at the karmelis, meaning that they were lenient in terms of its definition. And kulas of Rishos HaRabim and kulas of Rishos HaYachid. So for example, mikula Rishos HaYachid i'ika makom harbahu da'avid karmelis v'ilo makom pater. First of all, there has to be a minimum area. Just like by Rishos HaYachid, it only is a Rishos HaYachid if it's 4x4. Same thing with a karmelis. It's only a karmelis if it's 4x4. Anything less than that, it's not a karmelis. V'ilo makom pater ba'amahu. Mikula Rishos HaRabim, and on the other hand, it's also going to adopt a kula of the Rishos HaRabim, which is the ad yud tvachim hu da'avi karmelis. Above 10, it's a karmelis, and below, I'm sorry, up until 10, it's a karmelis, and anything above 10, it's not a karmelis. Okay, gufa. We're going to go back to our dollhouse. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav Chia Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Bai, Chein Tocha Yud, Vikira Mashlim Al Yud, Al Gago Mutal Atalta Bekula, Besocho Ein Metalta Bo Ela Bedal Amas. Good. Okay, the dollhouse that from the outside measures 10 tfachim, inside does not measure 10 tfachim high. Amar Abaye. But Abaye says, but let's do the following. I'm going to make the inside a Rishos HaYachid. How can I do that? So the easiest answer, of course, is make it 10 tfachim high. But Abaye is going to give us a trick. Not a trick, but Im chakak bo dalid al dalid vishlima liyod mutala tata bekula. Let's do the following. Now, here, right, this room obviously is much higher than 10 tfachim. Here. Let's say this desk is 10 tfachim. Okay? Thereabouts. Okay. Now, what do we say? We said that if I measured from the ground to the interior, to the top of, to the roof of this, it's less than 10 tfachim. So that means that the area in here is not a rishus yachid. On top of the desk, it's a rishus yachid. Right? It's 4x4, but interior, it's not rishus yachid. Says...
Wait.
Huh? Right. So... great. So if I were to dig a hole now in the ground, now obviously over here we're gonna imagine, but right in the middle, I were to dig a hole, and the hole that I dug is an area of 4x4 tefachim. So now that means that that area, if I stand in that area, I'm standing in a reshus yachid, because the hole I dug for myself is 4x4. I measure a linear measurement from the floor, from the base of that hole to the roof, it's 10 tefachim. I've now created for myself a reshus hayachid. 4x4, 10 tefachim. And then we're going to go even one step further. Not only is that small area right in the middle going to be a reshus hayachid, now the rest of the area also is going to have the status of the reshus hayachid. Why? It's a concept now we're being introduced to for the first time. It's what's called chorei reshus hayachid. The crevices of a reshus hayachid, because now that I have a base of a reshus hayachid, any nooks and crannies of the reshus hayachid is going to have the status of the reshus hayachid. Now we understand that in the most simplest terms, meaning if there's a hole in the wall, that hole in the wall is going to be reshus hayachid, because it's part of the house. It's a nook and cranny of the house. When I dig my little hole over here, it's hard to imagine that all the area surrounding is a nook and a cranny. Okay, so let's not use the word nooks and crannies. We'll use different words. But in other words, it's basically an attachment, it's a sniff to the area of the reshus hayachid. And so that whole area now underneath is going to have the status of reshus hayachid.
Regardless of its size, I mean...
Is it 4x4 bigger than the rest, or is it not? Doesn't seem to matter. So the Gemara says that's clear, meaning that's not even disputed. Now here's the interesting part. Charishus Rabbim. Do we have the same idea by Rishus HaRabim? Meaning, if I have a crack in a crevice of a Rishus HaRabim, does that have the status? Abai Omer ka Rishus HaRabim damu, Rava Omer lav ka Rishus HaRabim damu. So it's a machlok between Abai and Rava. Now, normally, who do we follow? Rava. Amalei Rava la Abai le ditcha damar tcha Rishus HaRabim ka Rishus HaRabim damu, maishna meha dechiyas Rav Dimi am Rav Yochanan, lo nitzrucha el karen zavis as mukhul Rishus HaRabim, vetehave ke Rishus HaRabim, vetehave ke chore Rishus HaRabim. So Rava says to Abai, let me ask you a very sharp question. You remember one of the first things we learned this morning? I had the Rishus HaRabim abutting to Rishus HaYachid, and one of the houses was recessed in, and what, right? And what do we say? That area is what? It's not a Rishus HaRabim. It's a Carmelis. So Rava says to Rishus HaRabim, what are you talking about? Nooks and crannies of the Rishus HaRabim. We just learned earlier this morning that area does not assume the status of the Rishus HaRabim. So what are you talking about? It's such a fantastic question. Abai defends himself. So the Gemara says, well, maybe what you can argue is, yeah, that recessed area, there's no traffic flow. But if I had a crack or a crevice of a Rishus HaRabim, where there would be a flow of traffic, the Gemara doesn't really give a good visual, a good description of what we're talking about. But if you can imagine, then they would have the status of the Rishus HaRabim. Okay, we'll stop over here. Okay, we'll tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah of throwing an item against the wall. Okay, good.
Right, a hole.
Uh-huh.
Now all of a sudden it becomes higher than when you tend.
Right.
From the bottom here.
Right, where do we measure from? Do we measure from the right? Okay, good. I don't know. Okay, we'll stop over here.